Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you this morning and nice to be with you. Jeremy, did you have to learn that last song? He had to learn that last song. Now, he's young, isn't he? How many of you have been singing that for 50 years or more? Okay. Well, thank you for doing that. We really appreciate that. Someone gave me a heads up to that and said, I think he had to learn that one. And we really appreciate that. But what a beautiful thought in that song. When we share together, we're bearing each other's burdens, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update. At Oklahoma Christian, some of you know, we have a new president. He started on May the 1st. His name is Ken Jones. Something I don't know that they said about Ken Jones in any of the blurbs they sent out was he grew up in Nancy's hometown of Cordell. And so there's more to that story if you want to know it. I can tell you later, but he grew up there, and then he's been President Lubbock Christian for many years, and then he was our chancellor for about 2 years, and now then he's the president. John DeSteiger has switched places, and John is now the chancellor, and Ken Jones is the president. They told me that when they met, Ken said to John, what do you like doing? John said, I like shaking hands with people, hugging people, kissing babies, raising money, building relationships, but I don't like administration. John said to Ken, what do you like doing? I like administration. I don't like shaking hands. I don't like kissing babies. I don't like hugging people. So they have switched roles now to where hopefully they both will be in roles that suit them. We have a new dean of Bible that most of you have probably heard about, Jeremy Beller. Jeremy has worked with the Wilshire congregation in Oklahoma City. Those of you who go to Affirming the Faith, he's had a big part in that for the last 10 years. Jeremy is a church guy, loves churches of Christ, loves the Lord, and is not such an academic person. And I think that will be good for our students, where we get more in touch with studies that just the average student can learn if they're an engineer or an English major or some other major. It's not like they're having to take graduate Bible classes. I think that will be good. And so Jeremy is a good friend of mine, and I think a good friend of some of yours, and I think that will be really good for Oklahoma Christian. So I kind of hate to even say this, but I'm going to say it. I think it was last year we had 4 students come in as Bible majors, total 4. So with Jeremy and Ken coming on board, we just got a notice the other day that this year it looks like we'll have at least 11, if not 12, coming in as Bible majors. I think that number will continue to increase with Jeremy and Ken's direction, and we're hoping and praying that that will happen. And so I'm really optimistic about good things happening, continuing to happen, and a good direction for us at Oklahoma Christian. I just wanted to share that with all of you, because I've told you some things in the past that I've shared with you, so I wanted to share that. Some of you know that we have just completed our 18th year of Global Reunion, which is the camp we have for returned missionaries and their families. Someone said, how many people have you had come? And I said, I'm not a counter. I don't keep records. I do not know how many people I've baptized. I don't know how many people I've done weddings for or how many people I've done funerals for. I don't keep any record of that. I have no idea. It would be in the thousands that have come to Global Reunion through the years. This year, we had a smaller number than usual. We had about 80 who were there who've lived in 35 different countries. And so a lot of them were teens and young adults. We had 3 married couples and 1 man who's married, but he came by himself. His wife didn't come. Interesting thing, guys, we had 2 couples from Russia. Joel Petty has been working in Russia maybe 25 to 30 years. He married a Russian lady. They have 2 children that they've been raising in Russia. The kids know very little English. When Russia went into Ukraine, they said, Joel, we're not going to renew your visa. even though you've been here for 30 years. So since he couldn't live there, the family left and came over here to the States. The kids started American schools. You think that would be challenging? Being a Russian, not knowing much English, and you're thrown into an American school. Another couple are Russians. He's also doing ministry in Russia, but he was in the military for years. Whenever they said, we're going into Ukraine, he said, we've got to get out of the country or they will call me up again and I will be killing people again, and I don't want to do that. They kind of left in the dark of the night. They couldn't say goodbye to anybody, couldn't take much stuff with them. Their kids know very little English. They've been here for a while in the States. All of that is tricky. There's other things about the other couples that were equally hard. And so anyway, we spent the week trying to talk with them about entering into America, challenges they will have, how to deal with those challenges, etc. So while we were doing that, then the teen group was meeting, and the teen group had kids from 13 to probably mid-20s, maybe even some that are in the 30s. So the facilitators of those groups are teens who've been in our third culture kid group at Oklahoma Christian, who've been at camp at least twice, and then they take on ministering and helping the younger people. So we felt very productive, very exhausting. And so Nancy, yesterday we finished up camp on Friday, and yesterday I take a nap most days. I tell my students, I take a nap most days. They said, really? I said, yeah, I've been doing that for years. I read a study one time, Harvard Medical School said, if you take a nap, you're like 80% less likely to have a heart attack. I don't know if that's right or not, but I like that. So I'm taking my nap, and I laid down usually about 25 minutes or so. And yesterday I slept for 2.25 hours. I could not wake up. And when I got up, I was, And then I was really brilliant. Nancy said the lawn needs to be mowed, needs to be edged. Heath mowed, I edged, checked the clock. There was a wedding note. So I went to the wedding. I got home last night at 10:30. That was brilliant of me. Anyway, but I had a nice time and got to see a lot of students and all. And it's a pleasure to be with all of you today. Thank you for what you're doing here. Pray that God will continue to bless you and that you will continue to impact each other and people around the world through your missions and this community. God needs us. God needs us. And he needs us to stand firm, to love him, show love to others, even that we disagree with. But we don't have to agree with everything and everybody. Just because people are cramming things down our throats and shoving it at us, we don't have to accept that. We don't have to hate them, but we don't have to accept it. And we need to stand up and at times say, no, I'm not going there. And there's nothing wrong with me not going there. And so thank you for what you're doing in this community and sharing the good news. We have the scripture reading from Galatians chapter 5. And if you would like to turn there, we will, we had it from Galatians chapter 6, excuse me. But I'm going to start in Galatians chapter 5. Most of you know the book of Galatians is about what? Judaizers have come into the church in the Galatian region. Or what are they trying to do? Make people become Jewish before they become Christian, or take on Judaism as part of Christianity. And Paul is saying, no, no. We have freedom in Christ. Jesus Christ has given us freedom. So I'm going to start with Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, so stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. We have freedom in Christ. Verse 6, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. They're trying to force everyone and make the men be circumcised as an act of like Judaism. Paul said, no, That doesn't matter. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And that's going to be a big point Paul makes for the rest of the book. Faith expressing itself through love. Not just words, not just saying I love you, but expressing that and showing that. Verse 13 of chapter 5. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful, or I would say fleshly nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Serve one another in love. And the whole law is summed up with that command, love your neighbor as yourself. Chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says, I say, live by the Spirit and don't gratify the desires of, and I would say, the fleshly nature. Verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is, and Paul gives the list, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are fruits of the Spirit. And then Paul says in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So much of what Paul wants us to see, it's not the old law, it's not Acts, but it is us following the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and serving in God's Spirit. And guys, how do we know how to do that? It's through reading God's Word, where He is, the Holy Spirit has inspired the message for us today. So we read it, we understand it, and we do it. And as we do that, we're walking in the Spirit. We're living in the Spirit. And then chapter 6, verse 1, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Watch yourself, for you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I had a lot on my mind with our camp this week about bearing or carrying each other's burdens. Our camp is designed to help people meet other people that are like them, that are going through some pretty strong challenges, and let each other kind of share those burdens so that it's not quite so heavy, and so people will know I'm not on my own. And whenever we first started thinking about the third culture kid thing that our children are part of and other kids are part of, people older than us that had been walking down that road a ways, they said, you know, the best thing you can do is get those kids together and let them talk with each other and share with each other, and they know they're not alone. Our kids in the early days used to say, I'm glad I get to be with other third culture kids. I see I'm not the only, their words here, I'm not the only weirdo. They felt so weird because they were so different than other kids. They were very smart, very culturally aware in their culture, but they just felt weird in America because they didn't understand it. So what was the key? Bearing one another's burdens. Knowing what each other is going through. I think I've told you this before. I hope I'm not repeating myself too much. But after our first year of camp, we had maybe 15 kids. We didn't know what we were doing, as usual for me anyway, but we didn't know what we were doing. And the kids came to us and they said, our parents really need something. They are a mess. This is the teenagers talking about their parents. They're a mess. They need some help. So now our camp is for 5 to 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds to young adults, and parents, each of them having their sessions, during the same day at the same place. They're at Oklahoma Christian and Memorial Road. They help us out tremendously. But the parents would come, and they needed help. They needed, and we needed, someone who understood us. You know, when you work in a certain field, there's certain things that come up that other people don't understand. Ken, did you ever like to get with other principals and kind of chat with them and educational people? Did that kind of help you a little bit to realize the things you were dealing with, you weren't on your own? You know, and if you're in the police force, or if you're in the medical field, or if you're whatever, you want to get with people who are doing the same thing you're doing and talk with them, and they kind of can help you through some things. We as Christians are a little bit different than everybody else. So we need each other to listen to each other, to care about each other, to bear each other's burdens. One of the things, I'm pretty sure I've told you this, I'm not a small group guy. I'd rather be up here preaching than doing a small group. If this auditorium was completely full, twice as, I'd say, I want to preach instead of do a small group. But some of the guys at Campbelltown came to me one time, they said, we need to do a small group. I said, I said, really, we need to do that, do we? And they said, yes, we really do. That's the last thing I wanted to do. But we got together on a weekly basis. What did we do? We talked. We shared each other's burdens. We had one guy, his wife was threatening to leave him. Another guy, his wife had just left him. And they were brokenhearted. Together, the men, we were going to do a Bible study every week. Some weeks we never got to the Bible study. We talked about what they were going through and tried to help them get through that in a godly, biblical way. When they were wanting to do and say bad things to their wife, we were trying to counsel and bear burdens and share to help them get. All of those guys are still faithful today, surprisingly enough. I think part of the reason they're still faithful today is we got together and we were bearing each other's burdens. We were sharing, and again, when we were sharing, we would often bring up scripture, but it wasn't the verses I had prepared for the study. Sometimes we got to that, but sometimes we didn't. But we'd share God's words, we'd share our hearts, and sometimes one of the men would talk for 45 minutes. Uninterrupted, just pouring out their heart. And we would listen, and we would pray, and we would bear each other's burdens. I know all of you do that in different ways, and that's one of the powers of a faith church community, is people who care for you, who love you, who you can say things. You know they're not going to cast you away. They're going to listen, and they're going to love you. Global reunion is about bearing one another's burdens, the camp we just had, listening to each other, sharing our challenges, telling how God has worked in our lives and helped us move past certain things. You have groups like Celebrate Recovery. We have a Celebrate Recovery at Memorial Road. In that, people talk about addictions. Let's see, what is the tagline we use at Memorial Road? I don't know if it's a Celebrate Recovery's tagline nationwide, but it's for people with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. People with a lot of different addictions come, and they talk, and they share, and they bear each other's burdens. And if they find someone else has the same hurt or hang-up they have, it helps them to see that someone else is trying to deal with that in a positive way. Alcoholics Anonymous. People go, they listen to each other, they share what they're going through, and people help each other. Nancy and I went to programs called Families Anonymous. Parents with kids in drugs. You're going through the same thing. You know those people are not going to judge you because they're going through the same thing. You know, we've had some people say some very unusual things to us that were not helpful. Those people were helpful because they were going through what we were going through, bearing each other's burdens. Acts chapter 11, verse 27, if you want to flip over there, Acts chapter 11, verse 27, you read that during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up through the Spirit, predicted a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. What are they doing here, guys? They're bearing each other's burdens. That one church is saying, we see you're in trouble. We see you need food. We are going to help. We see that a number of times in the New Testament. And again, that is one way of bearing each other's burdens. I read something that I want to share with you from a writer named Clarence Haynes. And he writes from Exodus 17. And you're probably familiar with this story. Exodus 17, verse 8 through 13. The Amalekites came down and attacked the Israelites, and Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had it ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the mountain. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. And Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Is that bearing someone's burdens and helping them? You know, the hands go down. Moses didn't have the strength to kick them up. How many of you have not had the strength to do what you needed to do on your own? And someone came alongside you and helped bear that burden. There are times that we just would not have gotten through a situation without other people coming alongside and bearing burdens and helping us. You know what we're talking about, guys. It's all of us trying to be sensitive to each other and do what we can. I say to my students frequently, if you have something that's bothering you, you want to talk about it, I'm happy to talk with you. And then I say, I can't solve all of my own problems, and I certainly can't solve yours, but I'm happy to listen, and I'm happy to help. Guys, we can't solve everybody's problems, can we? But sometimes by being there to hold their hands up, we can help. You know, my buddy Nitish, who came with me from India, he came here with no money. His family can't send him any money. Some of us have been trying to help Nitish get through with a little bit of food to eat here and there, a little bit of tuition paid here and there to try to help him bear some of his burdens. I know he feels badly that he can't reciprocate. I put meals on his ID card so he can eat in the cafeteria. Sometimes we go in to eat and he says, Kent, sir, could I scan in for you? I've paid for that, but it makes him feel good to scan in for me. But people are trying to help bear his burdens, to help him to get through. And by the way, he's still looking for a job, and he hasn't found one after many months. Going back to Moses, when you have Aaron and Hur there, they recognize what's happening with Moses. They see he's getting fatigued. Guys, for us to bear each other's burdens, what do we have to do? We have to be observant. We have to be looking around. We have to look into people's eyes, into their hearts, and see what's going on. When they recognized his fatigue, they said, "We are going to help." They came alongside of Moses, and they stood there beside him, and they lifted his arms up. They didn't just say, "Poor old Moses, man, that old fella, you know, he's getting tired. You know, what's wrong with it?" They did nothing. They just said, "Let's do it." And they got in, and they lifted his hands up, and then they stayed until the job was done. Boy, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? Go on and on and on. But God calls us to bear each other's burdens. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but are you thinking about a time someone has helped you to bear your burdens and how helpful that was to you? I'm just challenging all of us this morning, again, because I'm thinking of what happened in Global Reunion last week, to think about, are there people around that I can help them bear their burdens? One of the things that we kept hearing as we went to parents groups on kids with addictions, they said whenever your child has an addiction, if it's drugs or alcohol, they have invited a 900-pound gorilla into their life. And what they want you to do is carry that for them. Chapter 6, verse 5 says, each one must carry his own load. And so I can't be, if I have to be careful what I'm doing, that as I'm helping other people, I'm not assisting them in a way that enables them to keep doing bad things. At certain points, I have to say to people, we've done what we can do, and now at this stage, you're going to have to do something. Everybody with me there? There's some limits, aren't there? But we all need to be aware, and even if we say that, we need to be continually looking and seeing, is there something I need to do? But we all have to carry our own loads. Guys, no one can make you decide to follow Jesus. That's your load. No one can make you bear someone else's burden. That's your load. No one else can make you love God, love people. That's yours. But sometimes as we're doing that, we do need a little help, and that's where we come in, bearing each other's burdens. I just want to finish with, you've experienced people that have helped bear your burdens. What speaks to me sometimes, guys, is food. Does it speak to you? I think that's one of my love languages. Chapman, who wrote the book on the five love languages, he didn't put food. To me, that's a love language. And so, again, you're bearing each other's burden. And what are you thinking about? Maybe someone has someone brought you food, and that just really helped. One year after a Global Reunion, Nancy and I were just beating. Brent called me and said, "Hey, Kent, can you come and preach on the, what did you say, on the 10th? And I said, "Are you guys meeting on the Sabbath day now?" He said, "No, sorry, the 11th. I said, "Okay, yeah, I can do that. I think if I'm out of bed by then." I said, because we're just beaten. One year, a couple came in after we'd finished Global Reunion, and they just brought us a bunch of food and said, "We know you're just exhausted. Don't worry about cooking. Take this." That speaks my language. That's kind of bearing a burden. We've had people that just keep saying, "I'm praying for you." Some of you know Ralph Burcham. He was at Oklahoma Christian for many years, a missionary to Vietnam, helped many people who did missions get started to do missions. He passed away this week. He had a day of the week that he and his wife, they would get up at 5 a.m. and pray for their students who were doing missions. That just helped us a lot to know that Ralph and Gladys, every Wednesday, were praying for us. I mean, that's what they were doing, and we knew it, and that helped immensely. I have a folder in my office. I still have a filing cabinet. I don't know if that's old school, if that's gone, but I've got one. And I have a folder of people who've written me notes. I have notes from my dad. Not so much from my mom. She didn't write as much, but my dad did. I've written a note from Charlie Albertson, from some of you in that file folder. that were an encouragement to me, that were helping lift me up at certain times. I have notes from students that have written, and they're not bearing a burden, but they're supporting and helping and encouraging. All those things are really good. Some of you met our friend Jean from Australia years ago, and she had many, many challenges. We couldn't solve those challenges. She would come to church sometimes with her arm in a sling that her grandsons that she and her husband had taken in to raise had shoved her around, or they were fighting. She got in the middle of them and got hurt. I couldn't solve that, but I could do everything to let her know we loved her. Anything we could do, we'd help her. And all of us can do the same thing in bearing each other's burdens. There's a mother at the end of the camp. I was standing there. We have a big flag ceremony. And so we have a map of the world that is huge. And the map of the world. And so we tell people to get the flag from the country you lived in and walk out to the country you lived in and place the flag down there for just a moment. It's a real meaningful ceremony. Many people enjoy that. I was standing next to a mother. And I said to her, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Do you have a child here? And she said, yes, my daughter's here. We live in Malawi, West Africa. She said, we brought our daughter last year to camp. She said, we cannot believe the difference in our daughter just from that 1 week of camp. And it wasn't just for a few days. It was for the whole year. Them bearing each other's burdens for that short time, sharing how they were dealing with the burdens they were carrying, the challenges of being a different nationality in another country, maybe a different color in a different country, all those things, and other kids were going through that as well, had helped their daughter so much. She said, we're going to bring her back every year because that was so good. Bearing each other's burdens, guys. So much power there. And I just want to finish with the scripture, Matthew 11. I'm just going to refer to it, Matthew 11, 28. What does Jesus say? Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. Guys, when do you have a yoke? What is that about? You have two animals together. They're not pulling on their own, are they? They have another one pulling with them. What does Jesus say? Take my yoke. Who's pulling with us, guys? Jesus Christ. Not only are we bearing each other's burdens, we take the yoke of Jesus, and he is helping us, and he is helping bear our burdens as well. Thank you, guys, for your great attention this morning. I just want to challenge us again to realize the power of bearing each other's burdens. And I know you have felt that through the years. I want to encourage you to continue doing that. And as we do that, we're honoring God. We're helping other people when they feel like, I can't do this on my own. And they're realizing other people are walking with them. And as we remember, Jesus is always walking with us, helping us to carry our burdens. If there's any way we can help you spiritually this morning, we want to offer you an opportunity to let us know about that. We'd be really happy to pray with you about anything. And if there's anyone that would like to be baptized into Christ, become a child of God, and begin walking and living for him, we'd love that this morning as well. If there's any way we can help you, please let us know. We'll stand and sing together.